eulogized a brother on yesterday. Amen. And know that, you know what, even in that God is getting the glory. That, you know, that we can't be here forever, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we're just grateful. I am grateful to God for First Lady Ela, amen, that God took her through surgery on this week and brought her back to us safely, amen. For God is good. We are grateful that God touched Brother Chad's body and brought him through surgery, amen. He has a little bit of ways to still go, but nonetheless, God is good, because the situation he had, he could have checked out of him. The situation she had, they could have checked out of him, but God's in all his omnipotence, his all-seeing, and his mercy, and his kindness towards us, sparing his hand, and I'm just so grateful to him on this morning. And I'm just so grateful to him. And good morning to those of you all. This is your first time here at the Safe House Church. My name is, I'm Dr. Peter Ely, and we are just a group of people here at the Safe House Church who believe in serving the Lord, who believe in loving the Lord. And we work off three principles here, or three pillars of our ministry and our doctrine here, is the DEA. And the DEA stands for Discipleship, Empowerment, and Accountability. That in discipleship, that we're going to train with you, and we're going to walk with you, and we're going to hold your hand, and we're going to go through these things. But then we're going to empower you with the gifts and the talents that God has already given you. We're going to give you space to let your gift make room for you. We're going to give you space to go forth. We're going to give you space to go up to the highways and the byways and compel them to come. Whatever God has blessed you with, that you use that to the best of your ability. Amen. And then we're going to hold you accountable. Accountability is important. In this day and time, a lot of people are not accountable for the things they say and their actions. Amen. We saw even on last week when people were just losing control and everything that's going on with social media and everybody talking about the Oscars and all this thing. There's a level of accountability. And we saw it very quick and evident there that accountability is a thing that people are running from these days. Accountability is a thing, for whatever reason, is not being shared and not being expressed. But I'm here to tell you today that here at the Safe House Church that we are accountable to God, and we are what? Accountable to one another. He said that iron sharpeth iron, and that's why we are accountable. I'm just so grateful to the many of you all that are there on the Zoom, amen. Looking forward, we went searching a little bit again on the last week. First Lady and I, we looked pretty good and still looking. I just hadn't heard from God yet, amen. And I do want to apologize to you all about the TD Jakes conference. For whatever reason, they had us coming in person all the way, amen. And it was incredibly hard, could not get through. So I apologize about that. I feel terrible about it. I wanted to be there just as much as you wanted to be there. And we could not get through their phone lines. It's unfortunate. I do not like to waste financial resources. We're not a really big church. So we just don't have money to burn, amen? And I want to be good steward of God's resources. So I, again, as your pastor, I ask that you forgive me. I apologize for that. And that's on me. I don't know what happened or whatever. It would be nice if they would give us a refund, because clearly they can see that no one attended and no one got a badge, no one got anything. But y'all know how those things go. I understand it's business, business is business. And the Bible saying business be like men. So we'll do what we got to do, but nonetheless, God is good. And we're just grateful to him for him and his mercy on this day. Thank you all for your prayers on yesterday as we preached a funeral on yesterday for one of my wife's relatives. Amen. And believe it or not, that was my first funeral. Amen. But, you know, God looked out for us and God covered us and he took care of us. And I'm grateful that he did what he did. And I believe God used us, and some things were said and things were put down, and hopefully, you know, seeds were planted, and those seeds will come up in due season. Amen. That those seeds will come up in due season. Thank you for the women at the well. This one, I always say that the wonderful job that Sister Pam is doing there at Women of the Well. I also solicit your prayers. Y'all know y'all pastor is always on the go, up and down on these airplanes. So again, after service today, I got to go get on another airplane. But nonetheless, God is good. You know, I think my father reminded me when I was over at the house some time ago and we were talking, and he said, "You don't remember anything, you know," and I was talking about some things I was going through, I father-son relationship, and I'm the oldest, and he was talking, and he said, "Oh, well, I'm not worried about this," because he said, "I remember the man of God prophesied and said that you were going places." And, you know, and I was frustrated, but, you know, sometimes it takes somebody to bring something back to your memories. And he said that, you know, despite what I was going through at the time, despite what I was struggling with, he said that I was going places. And nonetheless, I will say this, that God has kept me and we always going. So I ask you all, pray for my traveling mercy as we fly, to bring me back here safely. And then, like I say, hit the ground and go right back and do the things that we got to do. We will have Bible class on Wednesday night, so I'll be back for that. Amen. But y'all know we'll do that from anywhere. So we're just grateful. So let's pray for Traveling Mercy. Last time we did this, I barely made my flight. But I'm a little bit better today. I got everything in order. We didn't wait till last minute today. So y'all pray for me in that aspect. Amen. So I think all hearts and minds are clear. I don't think we have anything else on the table. So I'm going to go with you before the word of God on today. I believe that we have, God has given me our own time word to share with you in this day and time. We see so many different things are going and we find people in places and situations and circumstances. And I myself, that I find my faith being tried over and over again. And I ask God, I say, God, what are you doing? God, what is going on? God, what are you trying to tell us? And sometimes, we have to go through these things for the trying of our faith. You know, our faith has to be on a level that God is taking us through some things so that when I talk to somebody else, I'm not just talking from a point of view just to be a talking head, but I'm talking about something that I've lived. I'm talking about something I've gone through. I'm talking about something that I've experienced. Amen. There's something different when somebody talk to you. When you can tell when you talk to somebody who experienced some things. How many of you know you can tell when you talk? It's a difference between talking to somebody who just read about it, but then talking about somebody who's actually lived it. And there's something different between reading something and actually living something. And when you read something, that's one thing. And reading is good. I'm a strong advocate for reading. I have so many things that I've been blessed to know and understand because I do read. But then there's something that sometimes God just allows you to live. You have to have what we call some skin in the game. See, it's one thing if I give you something, and this is why sometimes us as believers, it's hard for us to accept the Holy Ghost and walk with the Holy Ghost because it didn't cost us anything. That what the salvation is free. It cost Christ his life, but it cost you and I nothing. But watch this. But here's the crux of the matter. Here's the, to just oppose to that is that it cost us everything to keep it. Watch this. It cost us nothing to receive it, but it cost you and I everything to keep it. Why do we say everything? Because what I have to give up myself. I have to give up everything that I thought I wanted to be, everything I thought I wanted to do, things I thought I wanted to say, the ways I wanted to act, the way I wanted to act that, the way I wanted to do whatever it is that I wanted to do. That what I had to give that part up to be able to serve him. Why? Because he says his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And that the things that he's put inside of me and the things that he's doing inside of me, that what he has set up for me, what, for a time and a place, and I am to walk there forth in. So therefore, I just cannot do anything I want to do. I cannot go around just slapping people. I cannot go around just saying what I want to say. I cannot just dress the way I want to dress. I cannot just talk the way I want to talk. I cannot just move the way I want to move. Why? Because I've been bought, and I've been bought with what? I've been bought with a price. How many of you know that you've been bought with a price? And that price was his blood on Calvary. So what, the skin in the game for you and I is, yes, he gives it to us freely, but you must do everything you can to maintain it. See, I can come up and I can give you a Maserati. A Maserati is a fine car. I like Maseratis. Nice cars, Aston Martin, all these high-end cars. And that's one thing for me to give you that. It's of extreme value. It's really nice. But can you afford to drive it? Because a Maserati take Maserati gas. Probably 100 octane or something near about. You don't even find that on most pumps. You know, a Maserati takes Maserati maintenance. A brake job might be $6,000. A Maserati takes Maserati oil. Every time they change the oil, it might be $1,000 for oil change. 5 minutes used. They take 5 minutes to change your oil and it charges you $1,000. A Maserati might need Maserati tires. So even though I give you the car, the real question is, I've given it to you, but can you maintain it? See, I think about terms of weight loss. And, you know, me and my wife, we've been fighting this battle of the bulge. My weight goes up and down. And it's one thing, I've lost many pounds. I've lost almost 89, 100 pounds almost one time. And then there have been many times I've almost gained back 89, 100 pounds. So it's one thing to lose the weight. But it's another thing what to have discipline to maintain the weight loss. Are y'all with me this morning? Are we tracking? So what I want to talk to you today is, you know, we're going from this point of view that, yes, it's one thing to have it, but what are you doing in preparation to maintain it? What are you doing in preparation to keep what you have? You know, it's often tell me it's not about how much money you make, but it's about how much money you can keep. Why? Because we know that we have taxes and all these things and we spend stuff. So you can have a $100,000 a year job and spend $110,000 a year, and you're just as broke as somebody who made $20,000 or less and only spent $20,000. Why? Because oftentimes, what we find is that we might have, you know, these large bank accounts, and we have these large spending accounts, and we have these large accounts of emotion that we spend and things that we do. But what? We overspend and we are not prepared. So it's about what can you keep versus what you spend. So yes, you can make $1 million a year, but if you spend $1 million a year, you got net zero. Are y'all with me? So would you turn with me to the book of Matthew? Matthew, the 25th chapter, are we today? Hey, please hit the share button, hit the like button, share this with somebody else. Someone else needs to hear this tremendous message that I believe that God has got for me today. So we want to go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We want to start at verse 1. This is a very familiar passage of scripture that I will read to you on today as I go ahead and I find my thing to switch here. All right, here we go. Matthew. We go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 1, and it says this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. This is Jesus giving them a parable. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Where do you stand? Are you one of the wise or are you one of the foolish? They that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. They took no extra with them. I have what I have. I am who I am. There's no extra to me. I don't need to do anything else. What I have and what I bring to the table is just enough. And if you don't like it, then so be it. This is the attitude of some people. And then you have the attitude of other people who are in continuous improvement. That what? Yes, I can do a little bit better. Yes, I can get a little bit better. Yes, I stopped this, but what about this? And I got this, but I can do this. Always something else that I can keep going. It's the whack-a-mole. I tell you that what you just keep scoring. We have a dichotomy here of two different, about two opinions. Then the Bible goes on and says, and when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all went to sleep. Rest is a good thing. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out ye to meet him. So you know what? They were sleeping. Now they're woken out of their sleep and say, hey, the bridegroom is coming. The one who's to get married. Here he comes. He's coming. Are you ready? So here they were. They're waking them up. So now they all getting themselves in order. They're getting their things to go. Here they are. They've been waiting and they've been preparing and waiting for the bridegroom to come. Here he comes. And then the Bible says in 7. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. What did they do? They trimmed their lamps. They adjusted their settings. How many of you know sometimes you have to adjust some things so that you don't run out? You have to budget your money so you don't run out. You have to pace yourself so that you don't quit early. For this race is what? This is an endurance race. That serving Christ is what? It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then they go on and say this. And then it goes on to say, it says, and the foolish said unto the wise, and this is why they're foolish. What they say to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, how dumb is that? Give me what you have, because I don't have any more. I have capacity to do this. I have the same 24 hours that you have. I have gifts and talents. And I'm one to believe that God gives everybody equal gifts and talents. It's just that you have to spend more time finding where yours are. If yours is not readily accessible, that yours may not be right in front of you, then it means you have to spend a little bit more time and get it. What do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is this. That I mean, if God gave Peter 10, he gave you 10. And maybe my 10 are pretty visible. I see them all the time, and I've done things, and I found them out. Maybe your 10, you got to work at it a little bit. And then you find them out. Who'd have known that Tiger Woods had a talent to play golf, but one day he picked up a golf club? Who'd have known that Maya Angelou had the capacity to write the way she writes, but one day she had to pick up a poem and start writing a poem? See, these are the things that what we sit there and we watch everybody else and we say, Lord, woe is me. Lord, why don't I have? Lord, why don't I ask you, what have you done lately to discover your talents and your gifts and your anointing? Before you ask somebody else for theirs. So they asked them this. Let us give some of your oil. Now watch this. What was their response? Because they're wise. Listen to their response. And their wise response says this. But the wise answer is saying, not so. Mm-mm. Nope, not getting my oil. lest there be not enough for us. Because if I give you what I have, as much as I love you, yes, this is the love of Jesus, but the Bible tells me that what? Save yourself from this underworld generation. That what? That we'll be saved by our faith. That we have to reach out by faith. We have to touch him. We have to touch the hem of his garment. That he will make us whole. That what? I have to open my mouth and speak to him, because he told me if I didn't speak, that the rocks would cry out for me. I don't want a rock crying out for me. So what? That means I got to do my part. I got to do my job. And my job is what? To go and be prepared. Why? Because nobody else is going to give it to me. He gave you salvation. He gave you 24 hours. What are you going to do? I'm asking today. So then he said, they say this, lest there be not enough for us and you. Watch this. If I give you what I have, then I'm not going to have enough. And now both of us will be in the ditch. The Bible said that if the blind lead the blind, that they both fall into the ditch. Why should I fall into the ditch? Because you didn't come prepared. Watch this. And he said, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Go buy your own oil. Buy your own oil. Read your Bible yourself. Don't wait till the pastor come to church and want to lay hands on you. Pray for yourself. Don't wait the pastor call a fast. Go fast. God's putting on you, fast for yourself. Don't wait for the pastor to come. I will come and pray for you. I will come and lift hands with you. I will come and connect faith with you. But start with yourself. There's some things, brothers and sisters, that we can just do ourselves, and yet we don't do them. Why? Why do we not do them? Just out of pure laziness? Out of neglect? Do you not think if you gave God your sincere, honest best, do you not think he would be not just enough to accept you? I'm not a singer, but I do my best up here every single week. And I believe with everything in me that he accepts it. If not, I wouldn't do it. I know I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best teacher. But I do it out of sincerity, but my very best, the gift and talents he's given me. And I believe he accepts it, or I wouldn't do it. So what did you do today? I'm asking you, what are you doing? Watch this. So then he goes on, he says this. So he told him what? Go get the oil from the people who sell it. I'm not giving you mine. And then it's this. It says, and while they went to the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went with him, in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So when he came, they were at a wedding. These who were ready got to go to the wedding. And watch this. And those who were not ready, and when the opportunity came, they shut the door. The door was shut. For there's a verse in the Bible that speaks that God, what, that the doors that he shut, no man can open. When he shuts the door, it's closed. Watch this. And in verse 25, he said, afterward came also the virgins. These are the other virgins, the one who went to go get what? More oil, because they were not prepared. Lord, Lord, open to us. They asked him, open the door. And he says this, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Why? Because those I know, they are prepared. Those I know, they are wise. Those I know, follow my commandments. Those I know, chase after me. Those I know, would do what I ask them to do. Those I know, I've told them to go get extra oil. Because it may be a while. Because I may be delayed in my coming, but my coming is sure. We often say that he may not come when we want him, but he always what? On time. And because he's always on time, what I'm doing, that means I am what? Pouring more oil into my lamp as I wait on him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm telling you, Safe House Church, he may not come exactly when we want him. Yes, I want a new building right now. I want to be in church Easter Sunday right now. I'm like, Lord, why are we being delayed? Lord, things are in order. Things are moving. Why? But I have to trust. We have to trust that we may not come when we want, but he's going to be exactly on time. If we jump the gun, maybe there is a church that's going to put their keys in our hands and say, we're done. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking faith this morning. I'm talking put some more oil in your lamps this morning. Don't get weary in well-doing this morning. For weeping may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. That we have to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in his word this morning. I'm here to remind you that he has the power this morning. I'm here to remind you today that it's his grace and mercy that saw us through this morning. I'm here to remind you today that God is able to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad if we're able to not run out of oil. Watch this. He says this, and I'm going to get on out of here. He said, therefore, in verse 25 and 13, he says, watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. You don't know the day or the hour which the Son of Man cometh. So if I was used for a subject this morning, that was just my introduction. Got oil? Got oil? Do you got oil? So as we saw here on this thing, we see that we have this in the scripture that we have what? These 10 virgins. These 10 virgins, by them being virgins, mean that what? They were women who were chaste and women who had kept themselves. So that means that what? They were not bad women. They were not promiscuous. They weren't giving themselves to any and everybody that what? They were chasing. But what? Even with you being chasing, even with you doing good things, even with you being a good person, you still can be what? Unwise. See, I know sometimes we think because I'm a good person and I've done this and I've done that and I did this and I did that. And yes, you did all these things, but what about all the other things that you didn't do, that you didn't use wisdom in some things? You didn't use God's understanding of some things. You leaned to your own understanding on some stuff and got yourself stuck in some situations or some, as they say, some entanglements. Because you lacked wisdom. With all you're getting, he said, what? Get understanding. So with all that we're getting, what? We're supposed to what? Get some understanding with this thing. We're to get some know-how with this thing. We ought to get some focus with this thing. We ought to get some truth with this thing. We ought to pull this thing together and get, well, it's understanding and know, like, God, you got us. God, you got us. So these virgins, they go in and they go and they waiting for to go to this wedding. And as they go to the wedding, they got to have their lamp. Why? Because it's dark. They got to be able to what? The light to show the way. Remember, the light is always representative of what? A way maker. The light is always representative of showing the way. The light always what? Shows us the way. The Bible said, well, he is the truth and the light and what? That he will what? Guide us. He'll be a light into what? Our paths. But the light has to run off something else. The light has to run off of this thing called oil. These were oil lamps. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, the Holy Ghost burns inside of me. If it burns inside of you, then what? The Holy Ghost is also fueled. And what is the Holy Ghost fueled by? It's fueled by what? The oil of the anointing. Oh, did y'all see that? The oil of the anointing. So, yes, you can have the Holy Ghost, but you got to have some anointing in your life, because it's going to be the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. It's going to be the anointing of the oil of the anointing that's going to keep you going in the tough time. It's going to be the oil of the anointing that's going to help light a way into your path when you're out there and it seems like you're dark and you don't have a friend and you have nobody to lean on and you have nobody to talk to. And when you seem like you want to throw in the towel, you have to have the oil of the anointing to say, no, baby, you can't give up. No, baby, you can't quit right here. Know then what greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Know that I can't give up right now. Know that the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but that he that endures to the end. Know that in what I cannot walk away from this. And we call it the oil of his anointing. I want to know, do you have some oil today? I want to know, do you have oil? Yes, you got the Holy Ghost, but what are the fruits of your life? The Bible said, ye should know them by their fruits. What fruits do we see? Are you love? Are you kind? Are you meek? Are you gentle? Are you obedient? Do you follow the word? Because I told you today, it's one thing for God to give you the gift. He gives you that initial gift. He gives you the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it's up to you to maintain it. And how do you maintain it? You maintain it by keeping what before his face and continue to what? Because the anointing comes from him. You want everything. See, people ask me all the time, why are you successful? I'm going to tell you right now, it's nothing that Peter done, but it's the oil that's on my life. It's the anointing that's on my life. And all he asked me to do is be obedient. All he asked me to do is not give up. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's very hard sometimes. I want to quit. When people call me out my name, when they keep falsely accuse me, when they say this and they say that about you, when you sit there and you look around and it seems like it's just not going to work out yet, when you feel like you got overlooked and when you got overstepped and you look through all these things, you say, my God! And he said, there's a crushing that has to occur for the anointing to flow in your life. See, what happens is when the anointing flows in your life, I know that that's a question. You feel defeated. You feel like it's not moving. You feel like, Lord, I just want to throw in the towel. Lord, this is not working out. Why am I in this? Why am I in that? And that's a crushing that occurs for the believer. And in that crushing, it's to remind you that it's not about me, but it's he that lives inside of me. There's nothing that I've done. It's not my grace and mercy, but it's his grace and mercy. It's his anointing that he's poured on me. It's his anointing that flows through me. It's his power. It's his grace. Is his strength, and that I am nothing without him. So therefore, I can't go around walking like a peacock. I cannot put my head up and raise, but if I raise my head up, and if I boast in the Lord, because there's nothing that I've done. The mightiest touch that's in his hands. He said in his word that he will prosper your hands to grow. So when things grow around me, know that it's not me, but it's he that lives in me, that oil that he's put on my life. Dude, you got oil this morning is what I want to know. Because you can have the lamp. You can have the Holy Ghost. But what you doing with it? This thing is past Acts 2:38, y'all. This thing is past Acts 2:38. It's so much more to it than Acts 2:38. That's just the beginning. You just got the lamp. Now, what about the oil that follows it? What about the oil that sustains it? How do you get this oil? There's a crushing that continually occurs. If you get any oil out of anything, what happens is what? It actually destroys the vessel that the oil is in. Think about olive. Olive oil. How they get an olive oil? They get an olive oil out of what? And they call it a cold press. So what they do is they take the olive oil and they put it under a press. And the press presses the olive. And as it presses the olive, what happens is the oil that's inside of the olive starts to what? To flow from the olive. Now in this process, you get the precious oil, but what you notice is what? The olive itself is destroyed. The olive wasn't just a vessel for what we want. I don't know about you. Have you ever made orange juice before? And you take the orange and you go in there and you make orange juice and you wring it and you get all that. And what happens? Now that you got all the juice and you go back and you try to eat the orange, what happens is you try to go back and eat the orange? I tell you. It don't taste good. It tastes like nothing. Why? Because the oil, the orange was only good with what? The juice was in it. It was the juice that made the, I hear you. It was the juice that made the orange, not the housing. It's God's anointing that makes me, not this body. This thing is nasty. This thing thinks evil stuff. This thing says evil stuff. This thing does evil stuff. So remove his anointing out of it, and it's just as bad as everything else. Remove his anointing out of it, it's just, you can put it up against anybody else, and it'll be just as evil and as vile as anybody else. But for those of us who walk under the anointing, for those of us who got his oil, it gives us our savior. The Bible says, what good is this salt? But if it loses its savor, it's only good to be what? Trampled down on the ground upon the feet. And I'm asking you today, have you lost your savior? Do you have oil in your life? Because it's this oil of his anointing that keeps us. How do you keep the flow overflowing, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You're what? Fasting, praying, staying before God, reading his word, not a failing to assemble yourselves together. Why? Because sometimes my oil gets low too. And sometimes the things that come to crush me, as I find out, it's really God trying to get the oil out of my life so that I can move on. Because when I'm getting crushed and I realize that it crushed me, but it didn't kill me. See, there's a difference between being crushed and killed. Crushed it, it doesn't feel good, but I'm still alive. So they oil, but watch this. It's the cost sometimes that gets us. And this oil, what? It's not cheap. How many of you have ever tried to make, again, orange juice? It's the reason why orange juice, pure orange juice, is really expensive. Because it might take you 3 to 4 oranges to get one solid 16-ounce glass of orange juice. You can take that orange and you can wring it, and do everything you got to do to it, get that out of there, and you got probably like 3 ounces. And you have to take another orange and do it again. And another orange and do it again. And another orange and do it again. So if you see somebody who's full of the anointing, trust and believe, baby, they've been to hell and back multiple times. So this is why you often hear other preachers and those say, be careful for what you ask for. And I'm coming to understand that now. Because the anointing is going to cost you something. It's not free. The oil is not free, but it's going to cost you. Salvation is, but the oil to maintain that salvation is not going to be free. I know we don't like this kind of talk. I know we don't like this kind of preaching, but this is the preacher that keeps you saved. If you want a huck in the butt, I'm sorry, wrong channel. If you want something to run around and make you feel good, if you want to be a Holy Ghost coke addict, don't be addicted to the Holy Ghost and not addicted to his power and his discipline. Because the Holy Ghost requires discipline in our lives. Can do any and everything you want to do and call yourself a believer. The Bible said what like this. He said, they're denying the power thereof, a form of godliness. They want a form of it, but they don't want the true power of it. Why? Because it causes you to shape up. It causes you to stand up. It causes you to do what you're supposed to do. It causes you to love your lady. It causes you to support your church. It causes you to follow in prayer. It causes you to go forth and do things that necessarily you don't want to do, but you know you're supposed to do. It causes you to pay your tithe and your offering. It causes you to walk by faith and not by sight. It causes you to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but Lord, I trust you in all that you're going to do. That's what it requires of you. Everybody can't handle that. I get it, and I understand that God bless you, and I bid you Godspeed. But for the rest of us who want to be real genuine about this thing, for the rest of us who live this thing by faith, for the rest of us who give and really say that we sing that he's everything to us, it's not just saying something that feels good, and because we live this multiple times, and we continue to live it, and it's the life of the believer. It's what he's called us to be. So you got oil this morning. So let me give you a couple points, and I'm going to get out of here. Y'all, I ain't been for y'all that long. I've been doing good today. So let's talk about oil. Oil. What is oil? Oil represents many things in your life. For those who are taking notes, oil is what? A representation of God's Spirit. If you got oil in your life, it's a representation of God's Spirit. Why? Because God's Spirit has the oil to what? Maintain the light. Woo! Did you get that? We have a light in us. That light is maintained by what? The oil. That's why you cannot just get the oil. People say, once saved, always saved. Can't prove that to me. It's not there. You jump out the pool, I saved you one time. You can jump in the pool again. Come on, somebody. That eternal security, that's not even true. So, Holy Ghost, oil represents spirit. Oil also represents what? It lubricates. It makes things a little easier sometimes. When the Bible said iron sharpens iron, there's often what? Friction there. That sometimes we have some disagreements inside the household of faith. Sometimes brothers and sisters don't always see eye to eye. It doesn't mean that they're any less saved. They're still people. But when you have, watch this, the lubrication, when you have that oil, it says that, okay, I disagree with my brother or my sister. However, I'm not going to mistreat them. See, that's what oil does for you. Oil will say that, you know, I can be angry, I can be upset, and still not sin. That's what oil will do for you. This is why what? It's important that we have what? Oil in our lives. Oil does what? It heals. When the Bible talks about it, it said they anointed their heads with oil. That the oil was what? Representation of this of the Spirit. So that oil, where there was a balm in Gilead, that the oil was also what? A treatment, and that they used it for restoration and all these things that oil heals. This is why we pray what? We pull out the oil. When we pray, and we pray for others, we put oil on them, what? To represent not only his Spirit, but what? That is them, but that oil heals. We talk about oil, what? It provides light. As that oil is burned, well, it provides a light that lives within us. Oil also, well, it provides warmth when it's cold outside. Most people have, sometimes you have those old oil heaters where they burn oil and the oil comes off as well. It's a heat source that everything can't stick to it. Oil invigorates, meaning that what? You can use oil to give what? Massages. You can use oil to soothe things. See, when you got that Holy Ghost in your life and things get crazy, you can soothe some things by saying the right thing. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Sometimes we just got to allow the Holy Ghost to speak so it can soothe some things. Sometimes in your marriage or in your friendships or at work, sometimes you got to learn how to just shut up because the Holy Ghost will soothe some things. This is how people know you got oil on your life. Mm-hmm. The oil what in the domes. What? And what do you mean by domes? The oil is what a sweet smell to say. Oil is a perfume. When you got oil on you, people know you got oil on you. You're sweet to them. They attracted to you. You smell good. Think about it, all our perfumes are based off what? Oil. Right? And the perfumes or the colognes that last the longest are based out of oil. Oil will what? Retain the fragrance. So you're talking about these people who nasty, they just ain't got no oil. They got oil. Don't mean they didn't have it. They hear me well. That mean they didn't have oil. They just ran out. So I'm asking you today, got any oil? Last part, and I'm going to leave it this, and I'm going to close. Oil polishes this. Polish. You know, I think about, you know, as a young kid, me and my dad used to show me how to shine shoes, and you would put this oil on the shoe. And we put this oil on the shoe, why? Because it would bring light to the shoe. It would cause the shoe to shine. It would bring, you know, elasticity to the shoe. It would bring, you know, it would bring new rigor. You think about it, even on your skin, we put oil on our skin. Why? Because it those things that were dull is no longer dull. So why do you need the oil in your life? I think it's quite simple. But you need your light burning. All these other things that I read about today were just what? Byproducts of the oil on your life. Prosperity, God's goodness, and His grace and His mercy. But that oil is required for us to maintain and go forth and let our light shine before men. Are you happy in Jesus today? God bless you all. I love you all. This is all that I have for you today. I hope that this was a tremendous sermon for you, that it blessed you in a mighty, mighty way, that God has been so good to us. He's been better to us than He's been to ourselves. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, starting us out right now. We thank you for the activity of our lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this message that you sent today, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we have to have the oil in our life, oh God, that we have to let that light shine in our life, oh God. Lord, there's nothing that we've done, Lord, for you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, the spiritual wickedness, Lord Jesus, and princes of the dark and very high places. But Lord, we honor you on today, Lord. We give your name the honor and the praise, oh God. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. Lord, that oil that you put on our lives, oh God. Lord, you ask that you renew the oil inside of us, oh God. Lord, let the anointing flow, oh God, from the crushes and the things that we've been through, Lord Jesus. The healings, oh God, and the disappointments, oh God. Lord, in the circumstances that we've gone through, oh God. Lord, you ask that you continue to bless your people, oh God. Love on them and keep them, oh God. Help each and every one of them, oh God, to be who it is you call them to be, to do what you call them to do, to say what you call them to say, to live how you call them to live, and to pray how you call them to pray. And Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We love you for that, and we honor you for that, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we dare not touch that glory. But in all that ways, we acknowledge you. And we say that you would direct our paths. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. If you'll be so inclined, at this time, we want to move to the offering part of our service. Amen. If God has blessed you and this message has been a blessing to you on today, I ask that you all sow a seed. Amen. Sow a seed. The doors of the church are always open. Feel free. If you want to join us, amen, here in Greensboro, we would love to have you. If you want to join us and be one of our internet members, amen, we would be more than glad to have you, amen. But we have a couple of them, amen, and God's just been good to us. So we want to remind you how we give offering here at the Safe House Church. It's on the Cash App. Amen. So the Cash App here, you can do $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, it's $ Safe House Church GSO. Or you can do PayPal, and that's paypal.me/ministry8. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry8. Or you can do the snail mail, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. And this Bible, Luke 6:38 says this, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press down, and shake it together, and run it over shall be given to your bosom. God bless you all. Love you all. Thank you for any of your financial support. Again, paypal.me/ministry8. paypal.me/ministry8. Also want to remind you in closing, the women at the well, remember the women at the well, any woman who would like to join us, go to safehousechurchgso.com/women. You will register there. This is a space exclusively for women. You do not have to be a member of our church. We just want women to come in and get blessed and learn of the Lord. Amen. And just, you know, have talk. Amen. You know, sometimes people just need somewhere to talk. And that space is there for you on Monday nights at 7 p.m. with the tremendous work that Sister Pam is doing there along with her crew. Amen. We're just so grateful for what God is doing. So God bless you all. I love you all. I ask that you all continue to pray for me as I pray for you as I travel on this afternoon. Amen. That I get to my destination safely and that I come back to you all here on safely. God bless you all. Love you all. Remember, we have prayer on the morning. We'll be on at 6 a.m. Prayer every single Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Just go to our webpage and click on prayer and you'll see there's a link. Join us there for live prayer each and every morning. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon, Smith. Some time with your families. Enjoy. I guess it's a little bit sunny weather out there today. Enjoy that time. God bless you all. I love you all. Until again, know this one thing and know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. Love you all. Bye-bye.